This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Every Man's Search by Ernest Holmes. Every man's search is after something that will make him whole and happy, something that will cause him to feel safe and secure, and I believe something that will make him certain that he is going to live forever somewhere. We cannot believe that the divine intelligence which has created everything, including ourselves, could possibly have done this without at the same time providing a way through which we may live as happy and whole human beings and as divine beings and live forever somewhere. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He said this because he had discovered the secret which not only delivered all life and love to him, but at the same time, it delivered all power to him. Now it is this life, this love, and this power that he came to tell us about. And since he so completely proved what he taught, it is wise for us to follow the rules that he laid down for us and for others. He stated one of these rules when he told us that we must lose our lives if we wish to find them. Of course, this saying has been interpreted in many ways by many people. And you and I also are in search after the same truth and the same freedom. So it'll be well for us to try to find out just what we think Jesus meant when he said that we have to lose our lives if we want to find them. First, this seems like a very strange and hard saying and a difficult thing to do, for none of us really wishes to lose his life. Cannot be possible that Jesus meant that we should literally lose our lives, but rather that there must be things in our lives that we should let go of. As he said to the obsessed man, "Loose him and let him go." There must be something that is attached to us that doesn't really belong to the real man that Jesus was talking about. And so we should seek to find the fundamental truth that he taught. If we do this, we shall discover the things that Jesus talked about and laid the greatest emphasis on was the idea that we are spiritual beings here and now, living in a spiritual universe right now, that God, the supreme intelligence in the universe and the supreme power that governs everything, is not some far-off presence, but rather something that is immediate, a presence that is here with us. Jesus said that this presence is not only with us, it is within us. We live in it, and it moves through us. When Jesus said, then, that we must lose our lives, he must have been referring to that part of us that denies this supreme presence, that part of us that lives contradictory to it, that part of us that is out of harmony with it. Jesus really was telling us that there are certain things that we have to surrender or let go of before we can find our true center, the real spirit, and the perfect man, which he always assumed to be here and now within us. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." At first, this looks as though we were telling us that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God until we have first renounced the kingdom of man. And yet we find Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. When the multitude was hungry, he turned water into wine at a wedding feast, and in every way seemed to meet human needs wherever they arose. So even in teaching us that we must surrender something, he was not telling us that we should live in poverty or in limitation. What he really was saying is that when we put our trust in external things alone, we are certain to be disillusioned. For a person may have a fortune one day and lose it the next. He may have a position of high power and instantly lose all public acclaim. Jesus was telling us about something more real than this, but something which contained everything necessary to living even while we are in this world. For Jesus knew that we need food and clothing and shelter. He wasn't saying that the divine will imposes suffering on us, but rather that when we fail to live in accord with the divine, we bring suffering on ourselves. So we see that losing our lives or making the great surrender to the Spirit does not mean losing anything worthwhile. Rather, it means getting rid of those things which deny the presence and the power of the Spirit right on earth, those things that deny us the thought that we have the privilege of using a power greater than we are and a power for good that is in all people. It is the great negation of life that we must surrender. The doubts and fears and uncertainties, the coldness and unkindness, the lack of love. All of these things Jesus calls sins, but the very word sin has been misinterpreted and misconstrued. For the original meaning of the word sin meant to miss the mark, to make a mistake, to err in judgment, or to do something that separates us from the conscious daily realization that we already are one with the supreme giver of life. God is love, and we cannot get close to the nature of love while we hate. It is the hate we have to surrender, not the love. When Jesus said you have to lose your life to find it, he was saying you have to lose your hate if you wish to find love. You have to let go of everything that is unkind if you wish to discover kindness. You even have to surrender fear if you want to discover faith. Everything that denies faith and love and life and truth and beauty, Jesus called a sin, a mistake, a missing the mark. It isn't easy to make this surrender because we are so in the habit of thinking ourselves as being such strong, self-reliant personalities that we could sweep everything before us. No, it isn't easy to be meek. But again, we should examine the meaning of meekness. While we do not find arrogance in the life of Jesus, we always find a great strength of character, a will to accomplish what he had set out to do, a determination to fulfill his mission. When he said that the meek alone shall inherit the earth, he was not saying that we have to be wishy-washy or willy-nilly, but rather that in true meekness we should recognize that all power finally rests in the Spirit. To be meek is to be humble before the truth. One is truly meek or humble when he looks upon the grandeur of a mountain or the vastness of the ocean or thinks about the bigness of things. He doesn't become lost in this bigness or this grandeur, but he does stand in awe before it. When he does this, something deep within him responds. Something within him embraces the ocean. Something within him melts into the mountain, and he becomes one with the mountain and the ocean. This is true meekness. Jesus also said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Everyone longs to be made whole. Everyone really does hunger and thirst after peace and joy. And Jesus used the expression hunger and thirst because everyone knows how it is and how it feels to be hungry and how it feels to be thirsty. When we are hungry, we go in search of food. When we are thirsty, we look for water. There is a deep hunger in everyone, a deep thirst after another kind of food and another kind of drink, which Jesus said is not only natural to us but necessary for us. For he said that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Let us think how the true scientific mind hungers after knowledge. He feels incomplete until he has wrested the secrets of nature from the invisible and brought them into realization. But in his search, he has to surrender all personal opinion, all arrogant attitudes of mind, and in true meekness, follow the scientific pathway which leads to the discovery of a principle in nature that he inherits after he has first surrendered himself to it. No one makes a greater surrender than the scientific mind, for he is always willing to be led by the truth, no matter what path it takes him to. Truth and science in many ways mean the same thing, for all scientific research is a process of seeking out the laws of nature, discovering how they work, and then subjecting the individual will to the way they work. If this is done, then science will make progress. We all hunger and thirst after love because we are incomplete with it. We all really look up for the love of God because we feel incomplete without it. Now, just wait a minute, I've got something wrong here. I was really thinking, how long was it? Go back to where I said we all hunger and thirst after love and cut that out. Then I'll go on. We want peace of mind and an inward sense of security. But are we willing to surrender all confusion and discord? And are we willing to follow another teaching of Go back. All right. We all want peace of mind and an inward sense of security. But are we willing to surrender all confusion and discord? And are we willing to follow another teaching of Jesus in which he said, "Resist not evil, and it will flee from you"? We are so full of resistance and combativeness and antagonism. And the reason we are over-aggressive is really because we feel so insecure inside, so unsafe. In a sense, we put up a great big bluff and make a big noise and throw ourselves around. But just because we are so hurt inside, resist not evil, and it will flee from you. We wonder if Jesus knew what he was talking about. But he did, for true non-resistance is the surrender of every arrogant attitude of mind to good and to good alone. Those who have made this surrender have found real peace of mind, happiness, and wholeness in the only place where it can be found, which is within themselves. And perhaps the greatest surrender of all that Jesus taught was when he said, "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We have thought that we must work so hard to gain it. Now we are told that life is the gift of God unto man. Are we then willing to let go of this inflated ego of ours, this mask we wear, this camouflage we put on, and in simplicity accept life and say there is one life? That life is God, that life is perfect. That life is my life now. I completely surrender every fear and doubt and uncertainty, every sense of inadequacy to that perfect life. And with complete faith, I accept that it is operating in and through me now, today. I am guided and directed by divine intelligence. I am sustained by infinite love. I live and move and have my being in God.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.